Tim Fleming wakes you up in the morning at 5, right here on AM 1300, KGLO, Mason City.
Hometown News Station, AM 1300, KGLO. It is time now for the Corporate Farmer Program. And right now on the live line with me, it's Chad Hansen from Corporate Farmer. Chad, how you doing today?
Doing wonderful, Tim. It's crazy how much things have changed here in the last week since we chatted. I know we've kind of been wondering when things were going to happen in the fields, and I'm sure there was a lot of farmers that were wondering when things were going to happen in the fields, and you know what, a week later, and you know, there's just so much that's been done, and I don't know if you've been out traveling like I have, but crazy to see the corn popping up out of the ground, and it's definitely, I don't know, refreshing. I don't know what the right word is, that maybe we're kind of going to get ourselves back on schedule and look at having a crop sometime this year.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, because I was traveling a little bit, and you know, I've gone north, I've gone south. I know the other day I was up toward St. Ansgar that way, and then I went back that way again the next day, and I swear the corn popped.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see the rows forming in it, and but it is that you add a little bit of heat and some sunshine, and what a difference that can make.
Yeah, and now even talking to some of my friends and farmers and stuff, you know, over the weekend with graduations and things, you know, asking for a little bit of moisture. You know, it's crazy how quickly that changes too, but, you know, with them getting most of all the crops in the ground, it's probably time that would be helpful, and it looks like, you know, this week we'll probably get some of that as well. So might all fall into line and work out, and then we'll be asking for some heat after this cool, kind of windy wave that we've been dealing with the last 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, we can hang on and grab a little rain, and then head for the weekend and get some of that real mm-hmm. warm stuff that's coming in our direction to make it feel like summertime as we head into that holiday weekend.
Yeah, and I'm sure everybody's looking for a little relief after all the graduations and everything, kind of a 3-day weekend to just kick back and enjoy. I know several of my friends that are planning on camping and some of the other activities that happen over a Memorial Day weekend. So, yeah, I think that that sounds refreshing to a lot of us.
Yeah, I would think so, too. You mentioned graduations. It's always a fun time, and it's a busy time for families. But, boy, it's such a neat thing to see these kids, you know, grow up and graduate, walk across that stage, and then head out into the next step in their lives.
Yeah, and especially, you know, a special one for me with last weekend. We had our two oldest that graduated from college, so we were in Omaha for graduations there, and then my third child graduating from high school this past weekend, and my first time in 12 years of not being on the stage and handing out diplomas and being a part of that. It was kind of nice just to kind of relax and sit in the stands as a parent and kind of enjoy the whole thing. So I tell you, you know, I'm still trying to catch my breath from all the traveling and getting ready and all that kind of stuff. But we got to get back at it and get back into taxes and bookkeeping and all that fun stuff that that pays the bills.
Yeah, you know, some of your farm accounts, I'll tell you, once they find out that not only do you do taxes and accounting, but you can do landscaping work too, you know, you're going to have a calling there, Chad. People are going to be touching base with you fast.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll profess to having any expertise outside of the office by any means, yeah, sometimes you get called in to do some of those things as you try and get ready for you know, those graduation parties and such. And so, yeah, I tell you, my hands are more made for a keyboard than they are for that hard labor stuff. I know that for a fact.
mine too. Mine too. Well, how about the office? And here you are. You're winding down May. You got the holiday weekend and all these things going on, everything now. Bam, you're into summer, and mm-hmm. you know it's going to be a blink, and summer's going to go by.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, I'd say kind of the biggest thing now is we've kind of been about a little over a month away from the end of the tax season. What we start to see, and what I've seen a little bit of it here lately, is some correspondence from the IRS. And, you know, for many, that's always kind of something that just makes them kind of get nervous and maybe shake a little bit and wonder what's going on. But I think, you know, as times have changed, it's become a lot more common. That's the way, you know, that the IRS has kind of structured things to deal with any questions or any issues anymore, instead of kind of the more formal type audits and those types of things. This kind of correspondence type interaction is going to become pretty commonplace. And so I think as time goes on, more and more people are going to have those little letters in the mail that they've got to deal with. And so I thought this would be a good opportunity to discuss, you know, those a little bit. And they're going to come in all different shapes and forms. It might be, you know, an issue you had with your return. One big thing we've seen over the last couple years is a discrepancy between some of the stimulus payments, as people say, I don't remember getting it, you know, I can't find that. And so then, you know, they say, well, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't have any record of it. I don't think I received it. And then, you know, the IRS kind of, you know, in their computer system goes through and sees that payment went out, and that discrepancy is kind of dealt with through these kind of correspondence back and forth. You're going to get a notification. That's something that's pretty common, or maybe a form or like an investment income or a 1099 that you forgot to include. Those are pretty common issues, or just maybe a calculation error, which, you know, if you're working with a professional, you're probably not going to see too many of those, just because they're going to use a commercial software where they work out a lot of those bugs in advance. But, you know, if you're doing it on your own, especially, you know, through some of the online types of software, you know, it's not going to be that uncommon that you might run into a few of these things. So, you know, the best way to deal with it is to review the information first and see if they're wrong or right, because, you know, it could be that you just put it in a different spot, or that maybe they made an error in their calculation. And so, you know, you want to see if theirs is right, then it's a pretty simple process. You pay the adjusted amount due and send them a check, and it's over and done with. Or if you erred to the plus and you're going to get more money back, then I guess you probably aren't going to argue too loud in that case. But for those that it shows that they have a balance due and they know it's not correct, you've got a few different kind of remedies there. One is going to be to give them a call and try and talk to an agent on the other line to kind of straighten some of the simpler things out. I'm going to say that can be a pretty frustrating process, just given the lack of employees on the other end, and then the just sheer number of calls, as these, you know, are pretty prevalent right now this time of the year. So if you're going to do that, you're going to often want to call right away in the morning before that wave of people calls in. You know, you don't want to wait until, say, noon or, you know, later in the day, when hold times can easily be an hour or more. So first thing there is, if you're going to call right away in the morning, probably 8 o'clock or about the same time that they start taking calls. The other thing is just to put together a response. And obviously with anything, it's documentation, you know, overkill. Give more than they probably need to address the issue. So make copies of everything, explain it thoroughly, you know, everything you can do to make it so that it's pretty clear cut that they've made a mistake. And so, you know, we always encourage you to send a copy of that correspondence letter with it so they know exactly what they're dealing with, and then your documentation, and be patient because it's going to take a long time to get a response. Often we're talking, you know, 6 to 8 weeks used to be a common kind of time frame for that kind of issue. I would say probably double that now with the shortage in help and other issues, you know, that the IRS is dealing with the backlog of returns and correspondence and everything. So, you know, definitely have patience. Don't expect it's going to be remedied in the next few weeks. If you don't hear anything, wait. And if you receive any additional correspondence, then you're going to want to follow up on that right away as well.
It does kind of make you think, wow, how do they handle all of that? You know, the IRS.
Well, not well. I mean, is probably the first answer. I mean, I know that we like to kind of beat them up a little bit, but there was some testimony in Washington where the commissioner admitted that some of the documents that had been destroyed there at the IRS because they blamed it on the fact that their systems had changed, and some of the stuff, the forms and stuff that had been filed were unable to be processed. But, you know, most of us kind of laugh and snicker a little bit and say, yeah, I think that was kind of a cover-up. So they have had their issues. They are very backlogged at this point in time because of the fact that they you know, shut down completely during a lot of the pandemic. And, you know, so it's just a reality that it's going to take them some time to not only catch back up, but then deal with some of this stuff that, you know, life goes on, right? I mean, it's like you and I, if we took 4 or 5 months off and then came back to work, I'm sure you wouldn't even be able to see our desks, you know, let alone... You know, just think about how long it's going to take to work through some of those things. So that's why I say, I mean, I would definitely kind of assume that the wait times on getting any response back are at least doubled at this point in time.
Yeah, they would have to be. I mm-hmm. couldn't imagine that they could get through it. But, you know, like you say, they'll get there as quickly as they can.
Yeah, they will. And, I mean, that's what their job is. And like I said, I mean, these things, you know, with the letters and notices that people get is something that really, you know, I mean, it is nerve-wracking. You wonder what you did wrong or, you know, if there is a major issue that's going to lead to, you know, an audit or something, you know, more scary than just kind of answering a few questions. But, you know, honestly, these are kind of the realities of, you know, how things are being dealt with now. And as we've talked in the past, you know, the IRS is relying pretty heavily on their computer system to deal with, you know, any of the enforcement and also just the reconciliation of income on tax returns and even, you know, some of the deductions now and credits especially. And the other thing, you know, We're not just dealing with those issues, but also, you know, with the big problem that we have, you know, not just, you know, in the U.S., but, I mean, obviously throughout the whole world is this whole cyber security type of problem that's going on and people trying to be able to hack into your stuff or steal your identity and all that kind of thing. And so, you know, the IRS is still trying to figure out a reasonable way to verify returns. And so we're going to see that process changes every year a little bit as they tinker and try and kind of, you know, not be as intrusive as what they were originally. And so we've talked about how you have to provide some kind of identity type of information with your electronically filed returns, which, you know, often is like a driver's license number and when your driver's license expires, so they can check other systems to make sure that this is legitimate. But when you claim certain credits or deductions on your return, it's going to set you into a separate kind of bucket that they're going to have some additional security type checks to make sure that the return is not fraudulent. And so that means that you're probably going to receive one of these letters that says, you know, send a copy of this or send, you know, us a way of knowing that you filed this return. And I did have one of those just yesterday where it was send the first two pages of your return and maybe, you know, a couple of documents that you relied on to prepare your return, so they can kind of double check that stuff, because, you know, somebody in a different country that maybe tried to file a fraudulent return based on some of your personal information they have, they're not going to have those documents. And in fact, they probably don't even, you know, have a way of printing the IRS forms, and they're not going to go through that work and stuff anyway. They're going to have moved on to the next, you know, way to scam somebody out of some money. So those are some things that we see change each and every year, and how the IRS, you know, figures out a better way maybe, or experiments with a better way of handling some of those things. And so, again, I'm just, part of it, I want to kind of ease people's minds so they don't panic through, you know, some of these processes that are out there, but also make them aware, because I think the average person, when they get something from the government, they think, okay, you know, it doesn't seem like a lot of money, I'm just going to pay it and get them off my back, and don't know what else to really necessarily do. But that's why, you know, we have our clients provide that to us so that we can review them, make sure that it's correct, and if it isn't, then we help them by putting together, you know, a response so that we can get it corrected on the other end. And, you know, I would say that more often than not, that's the case where their computer system is kind of a little antiquated and not up to date with all the rules and everything. And obviously there's been a lot of changes, and so often they're going to make some mistakes. And, you know, so that's our job, is to make sure that their mistakes don't cost you more money.
And the government's going to contact you by mail.
Right.
You're not going to get a phone call from the IRS, that type of thing.
100%. Yeah, I would say that's a good thing to remind people, is if you get a phone call from somebody that says they're with the IRS and they're here to collect a balance due, then that's a scam. And you just want to go ahead and hang up, because that's not how they're going to operate. You know, they're probably looking for your bank account information or a way to have you forward them some cash through a money order or a gift card or something like that. So, yeah, if you get any contact outside of a letter, and even be careful of the letters, because, you know, I've seen some kind of fakes that way, and you can usually, you know, for somebody like me that sees that kind of correspondence all the time, you can immediately spot some errors and things in those documents. But that's why I say that if you've got somebody that you work with on these things, it's good just to touch base with them right away. Either, you know, mail them a copy of it, email them, fax them, whatever your means of corresponding back and forth with your tax person, or bring it into the office and so that we can look it over together. I think that is going to be your first course of action to try and determine if it's legitimate, and then if it's legitimate, whether it's owed or not, and then how you need to respond to it from there.
A lot of great information from you this week, Chad. Appreciate that an awful lot, and I know our listeners do too. If there's a farmer in the area that would like to visit with you about getting involved with Corporate Farmer, please tell us how they can do that.
Yeah, just give us a call, 800-472-6931, or you can always check us out online at corporatefarmer.com.
You have a great weekend coming up, too. I know we got a lot of things happening. I hope you get a chance to put your feet up and catch a ball game or two, or maybe a round of golf.
Yeah, I'm up for that. That's definitely going to happen soon. So thank you, Tim, and you do the same.
Will do. Thanks, Chad.
Bye.
It's Chad Hansen with us from Corporate Farmer, everybody. And, again, your farm accounting firm, Corporate Farmer, on AM 1300, KGLO.